Good afternoon, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. Take Ruby. Take Ruby. I like that. Welcome to my evolution. I hope you're having a wonderful day here on planet Earth, revolving around our sun, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It's great. You know, I was watching a YouTube video last night. There's a movie called In the Shadow of the Moon. And it was directed by Ron Howard. You got to check it out if you can, if you're interested in astronomy and the American space program. And one thing they said, and I've talked about this on previous shows, I like referring to it quite often when I hear how some people are atheists, you know, that when the astronauts, got into outer space, the 12 that walked on the moon, specifically, were astronauts, of course, before the Apollo program. You know, there was Mercury. And they say that Earth is so fragile from a distance. You know, imagine, just hold up your thumb and your forefinger, put them together like an okay sign. And just imagine planet Earth about that big in your window of spaceship as you're heading towards the moon. They said, it looks so fragile there, a cobalt blue world, you know, just hung in the velvety blackness of outer space, driven by a power that we don't know the origin of, you know. We can say that it's this or that, but do we really understand what that power is that's guiding this planet on this beautiful journey that we're all a part of through outer space, places we've never been before, you know, right now floating through outer space at about a few thousand miles an hour, rotating on our axis at another 600 some miles an hour. It's an amazing situation that we're a part of. It's incredible. And I'm very grateful for another day of life. I got to sing you this song that I like. It's called I Just Want to Celebrate. It goes like this.
I just want to celebrate. I just want to celebrate. Put my faith in the people, but the people let me down. So I turned the other way and I carried on anyhow. That's why I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah, another day of living, yeah. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Had my hand on a dollar bill, and the dollar bill blew away. But the sun is shining down on me, and it's here to stay, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm telling you, I just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah, another day of living, yeah. I just want to celebrate. Another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Don't let it all get you down, oh no. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around.
Actually, I didn't move very far, but I'm more now in the middle of this enclosed patio I have, which has a metal roof, and I think the connectivity sometimes is not that good, although this place right here seems to be okay. Well, let me try singing that song again. Tell me if you hear it any differently, you would please.
I just want to celebrate. I just want to celebrate, put my faith in the people, but the people let me down. So I turned the other way and I carried on anyhow. That's what I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah, I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate. Another day of life.
Did you hear me? All right, so my friends, I wrote some things down. I usually don't write things down when I prepare for my show, but I've got some subjects to talk about. Today, let me just say this first. I went to my Toastmasters meeting. It's the first and third Saturday of each month, and each and every month. And it was a pretty good time. There was like 12 people there, 10 in person and 2 online. 9:30 in the morning. So it's a eye-opening wake-up kind of event when you have to stand up and start talking. But I've been doing it now for many years, and I'm doing okay. Do you need public speaking? Are you one of those shy people like me over the years, times when you were super shy? And I remember one time when I was living in Guadalajara, Mexico. I was there 1971 to 73. In my senior year, I think it was my senior year, it might have been my junior year, I signed up for American history. And then when I found out I had to give a speech towards the end of the class, I dropped out. I'm not proud of that, but that's how shy I was, just standing up in front of people. And I'm not anyone. I'm not alone in that area. You know, people don't like giving speeches. People in general don't like talking in front of other people. Public speaking makes them terrified. I've seen it before, and I've been there myself. I'm getting a little bit better now. I'm finding ways to get through it, you know. It's like having my own radio show on VBS Radio. It's great. And I'm very grateful for this hour, to talk nonstop. I have guests sometimes, and I get these guest submissions, and I'll look at them. But to be honest with you, sometimes I just prefer to talk on my own, you know. It all depends on how I feel. Plus, I've had some people I know, like in a Toastmaster Club, who have been on the show before. So let me change the subject right now and talk about a subject that I think, when it comes to politics, is what separates the Republicans from the Democrats. Everything else, I think, you could be more than that. But the subject of abortion, delicate, contentious subject. But I was doing some thinking over the last week, and I wish that I could find out for sure if abortion is all with God, you know? That would settle the issue altogether if we knew how the Mother and Father God in heaven feel and the Creator Supreme of the universe feel about abortion. And it's a contentious subject, mainly, I think, because women have been discriminated against so much before in the past. They only just recently got their right, you know. And also, like in the 20s, they got their rights. In the 1920s, they got their rights to vote. So they've had a hard time. Even now, around the world, women are treated very badly. And I was watching some women on television the other day talking about it, you know, about my body, you know. I don't want people to tell me what to do with my body. Yeah, but here's something that you might not have thought about. I'm kind of open-minded about this, so I'm not, you know, I'd like to think outside the box. And I do have an open mind, and I'm always willing to listen to someone who has a logical, kind of rational train of thought. You know, the words are logical and rational. So women, first of all, can't have a baby without a man's seed, right? The baby wouldn't begin to grow in a woman's womb, unless the man fertilized the egg. Isn't that right? So the man has kind of like a part ownership of the baby. Right? Is that logical? And have you ever seen the movie Heaven Is Real? Heaven Is Real. If you haven't seen the movie Heaven Is Real, you need to watch it, because it's about a young boy who had a near-death experience. And there are two really interesting things that happened during his near-death experience. One thing was he met his grandfather. This was a three-year-old boy. You know, there's been millions of other near-death experiences that people have had, but this one, people began to notice because the boy was only 3 years old and he couldn't have made it up. Right? Agreed? Logical? And so, he went to heaven, he said. He met Jesus, and he met his father's father. And they talked about meeting him and talking with him there in heaven. Of course, his father had passed away many years before and never got a chance to meet him. So Colton Burpo was the name of the boy. At the time, he was 3 years old. The father went, when the son told him that, went and got a picture of his father when he was young. Excuse me, when he was, just before he died. And he came back and showed it to Colton. Colton said, no, that's not him. So they went back and got a picture of his father when he was young, like about age 30. He brought it back and showed him and said, yeah, that's him, which is not unusual to me, because having studied a lot of near-death experiences, I know that when we get to heaven, we're going to resort back to, depending on the level of your soul's evolution. If you live to be a ripe old age here on earth, maybe live to be 100 years old, it doesn't matter, anything over 30, when you get to heaven, you resort back to that mold, if you will, that mold, M-O-L-D, because that is what is the most common age, or how should I say it, the growth factor in heaven. Age 3, age 30, mold, so it looks young. You know, if you needed glasses on Earth, you're not going to be wearing glasses in there. Your eyesight would be perfect. If you had bad teeth, your teeth would be perfect there. The spirit, and it's all in my book, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. If you haven't got it before, it's available there for free. And it's 80 pages of rock solid, chock-a-block full of spirituality that will blow your mind in some places, you know, other things you might have heard about, but 30 chapters of this incredible spirituality that will help you in your soul's evolution. I guarantee it. Please. It's for free. It's all stuff that I've learned from other people, so you don't have to say I'm doing it for my ego, right? Or the boy said he met his sister, other sister, who died in a miscarriage, as he put it, in his mother's tummy. And so when he was there in heaven, he said this little girl came up to him and started hugging him and talking to him, and she was young, you know, maybe several years old. She died in a miscarriage several years before, and he didn't know her. He hadn't heard anything about her. His mother on earth didn't tell him that she had a miscarriage and there was a baby that died in her womb. And so when he got back after the near-death experience, he confronted his mother one day and he said, I didn't know I had a sister. And she said, well, yes, you do have a sister. You just had a real sister on earth, you know, who was maybe 8, 9 years old. He was 3. And he said that I met this young girl who said that she died in your tummy. And she kept hugging me. And his mother kind of stopped with a shocked expression on her face, right? And said, I never told you about the miscarriage I had. How did you know? He said, Mom, I told you. I met her in heaven. A three-year-old boy. Now, what more evidence do you need? What more evidence do you need? Except for maybe having it happen to yourself, you know, in the death experience. That is the kind of logic that bridges the gap between belief and knowledge. Right? The boy didn't make it up. He had no aspirations for fame or fortune, right? So, my point is, if the spirit of a young girl came to earth and was in her mother's tummy, then the same principle can be applied, if you know what I mean, to abortion. The individual entity, the spirit, and the soul living in the mother is a separate entity, a separate soul that comes to earth to look forward to the opportunity to be born into this world, to live a life just like you and I are living right now. That baby has rights, just like the mother has rights. So far, so good. Any objections to what I just said? Does that make sense? Now, I sympathize with the mother. It can be a very difficult situation. In the cases of rape and incest, only about 1% of abortions are linked to that, by the way. 1%. Only 1%. That's not much. And usually it's very rare the mother's life will be in danger from having a baby, you know, during that pregnancy. 1%. And with rapes, same thing. Very rare, about 1% of all abortions. And that doesn't, two wrongs don't make a right. Killing the baby doesn't justify the abortion because a woman was raped. Killing the baby does not justify having an abortion because a woman was raped. Let me say it again, killing the baby does not justify the right to an abortion because of rape. Killing the baby. You're killing a baby regardless, right? Also, by having an abortion, that kind of encourages more rape to happen. Does that make sense? Think about it. In the long run, it would, I believe. Like I said, I'm still sympathetic with women because they have a very difficult choice to make and they have to live with that for the rest of their life. What if I was to say to you that God told me that abortion is a sin? What would you say? How do I know that, right? I don't know. I can't prove that to you. But a sin, it's just like any other sin. A sin is a sin. Still, we're sympathetic towards the mother because it's a very difficult thing to have a baby grow in a mother's womb. I understand that. But don't forget everything I just said, please. I'm not going to go around in circles with people. The logic that I've already presented, hopefully you'll think about it some more. And know what I'm trying to do is just get us all in the same sheet of music. We shouldn't be fighting Republicans and Democrats. I see it on TV all the time. The main issue is abortion. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We all need to be on the same sheet of music as Americans who were founded by our fathers way back hundreds of years ago, men who envisioned a country where people could come and live together in freedom and the pursuit of happiness. And we've gotten off that pathway, if you will. Now we're divided. You think about who's the next president? Who is it going to be? They're both old and older. But old is a good thing in a way because as we get older, we get wiser and wise is better, I think. The more old you get, the wiser you get. The for those young people out there, you'll see yourself. You'll agree. Maybe not now, but later on. And what about Mr. Biden, his age, and all the flack they're giving him because of his age? You know what? I think he should retire. It's not fair on him. They pulled him out of retirement back in 2020, and I understand why. He was the only person, the only Democrat that could beat Mr. Trump, and he did. President Obama didn't recommend that he come out of retirement to run for president. The man, old, he deserves to live a life in peace and harmony now, not the stress of the most difficult job in the world, President of the United States, right? The most difficult job in the world. He deserves to spend his retirement in peace somewhere on a beach, drinking his favorite beverage, knowing he's got enough money in the bank account to take care of everything, going, traveling around the world, not being stressed out from all the 1,000 things he has to do every day, just relaxing like we're supposed to do in our retirement before we get too old, pass away, and enjoy our retirement. 81 years, how many out there want to work until they're 81 plus years old? I think not. Why is he any different? The problem is Democrats know that unless he runs, no one's going to beat Mr. Trump, and then we're going to be back to a Republican administration again. But is that fair on Mr. Biden? He's hanging in there very courageously. I'll give him credit, you know, for an old man. 81. Can you imagine how you'll be when you're 81? Talking there, like at the State of the Union I saw the other day. Was it last week, right? Or the week before? Talking very intelligibly. Maybe with a few little mistakes. Nothing major. I think he's a very intelligent man. And yes, he has a stutter. I have a stutter, too. It's a pretty common thing among people. But again, I think he deserves his retirement. And I wish he would retire, because I'm concerned about his well-being. He should be able to enjoy the last few years of his life in peace, happiness. Maybe that's what he wants to do. I don't think so, in my opinion. He's only doing it because he has to. He's brought out of retirement. Even President Obama said, don't do it. It's too stressful. But he did it. But who else would they have to replace him? Michelle Obama, possibly? And people would come out, believe me. It would make it interesting. My prayer is that may God's will be done. I'm concerned about Mr. Biden. I like everybody. I see the divide between the people and what they say, and I don't agree with a lot of it, you know. But these people on television are very intelligent people, very brilliant. But they're biased one way or another, you know. And with Mr. Trump, I've mentioned this before in previous shows, I have dreamed about him three separate times. He's like a brother in my dream. And I'm kind of concerned about the way he was treated. I don't think he was treated fairly. You know, the impeachments, the two impeachments, I didn't think that they were fair. You know, the January 6th situation, I don't think he really had that intention, or did he premeditate that act, that violence, you know, that happened there. Yes, I think he wanted them to go to the Capitol and protest. But he didn't want it to turn into violence, you know, and people getting killed. That was not his goal, I think. So it wasn't premeditated. So therefore, I don't blame them for that. Yes, his rhetoric was a little bit incendiary, and he was angry for everything that had happened, you know, the Russian collusion, the impeachments, and then apparently losing the election. Was it stolen? I think in some ways you could say it was, although there's no real evidence. More so, it was by the media, the way they were talking, the way people were talking, they still might find that some of those machines might have had some kind of programming in them that counted more votes for Biden than Trump, and there might have been some hard copy votes that were thrown away that were for Mr. Trump. I'm not sure. I don't know if we'll ever uncover that truth, you know? And maybe that's, being a businessman, he has his ways of doing things. And when you master the art of the deal, you don't accept defeat, no matter what, you know? So, yes, he probably should have accepted defeat. Okay, he beat me this time. He probably would have endeared a lot more people to him if he'd said, okay, you beat me this time, but there's next time, and, you know, we're going to do good this next time. Then, of course, there was COVID. It kind of threw a monkey wrench into the, that was around the time that COVID began, I think, right? February of 20, but even before that, around about the election time, November of 19, I think. It was November of 20. So COVID had already happened. Excuse me, I had to get my correct. And so they had these mail-in ballots. And that was the big ace for Democrats. They said, okay, this is how we're going to be. And that's how Mr. Trump probably feels the election was stolen, because they did a push. They beat him at his own game. He was out-strategized, so to speak, because they had all of those mail-in ballots. They put the word out. It was brilliant. A great idea. Now, going forward into the future, I would suggest that people get up, get themselves up. It's no big deal. Get in your car or get a ride to the local polling station and vote. Those people that can't, maybe shouldn't vote in the first place. I take that back. There's absentee ballots, but I say have the people come out and do hard copy ballots. That way you won't rely on the machinery, you know, the computerized software to be tampered with. You have hard copy votes, then you know for sure who won and who didn't, you know. And it should be something that we can know, certainly, who won, who didn't. So again, going back, what's the main issue that separates Republicans from Democrats? Abortion. Climate change, not so much. I mean, take it from me, the Reverend Blake Ruby, yes, climate change is real. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it for myself with my own eyes and heard with my own ears. What's going on here? We're polluting the atmosphere with carbon monoxide from our vehicles, burning fossil fuels, factories spewing their smoke and pollution to the atmosphere. The ozone layer has been depleted. We know that. That's been going on for over 50 years. The polar ice caps are melting. There's more wildfires now than there's ever been, right? There are stronger hurricanes now, tornadoes. I don't know what the statistics are, what the facts are, but I believe there's probably more tornadoes now than there were before. Planet Earth is changing, but I don't think we're beyond the point of no return. We can make a difference if we start using alternate sources of energy. It's like Tesla said back in the 20s. Tesla was an absolutely brilliant man, and he had the idea of tapping into the Earth's atmosphere, kind of like a streetcar taps into the lineup above for electricity. We can do that with our Earth's atmosphere. You know, cars can be that way too. Or maybe even have hydrogen-powered cars, you know, which run on water, pure H2O. Or maybe just part of that. I'm not sure. Not the H, but maybe the 2O. I'm not sure. But anyway, even solar cars, electric cars are good too. Electrical vehicles are good, you know. Anything but. Yes, I think it's a good idea that maybe for the time being we can drill oil because we still need it, you know, rather than buying it from Russia. Wasn't that crazy? They had the war over there in Ukraine, and we're buying oil from Russia, or some of our oil, not all of it, but, you know, the prices were raised. Remember that back around COVID times? And also from Saudi Arabia, Venezuela. We shouldn't be buying oil from anybody. We've got enough resources on our own, but we need to stop doing it all around the world. It's not a good thing to take oil from underneath the surface of the earth. It's put in there for a specific purpose, which is to move the tectonic plates around, not for vehicles that we drive on highways, fossil fuels. Time to stop is now, but it's going to take a while. So my prayer is that God, Mother and Father God, and I like to pray to the creator of the universe too, who is a separate entity that started it all out there, you know, the creator of the universe. Check out this YouTube video, Donna Rebadow, R-E-B-A-D-O-W. She had a near-death experience. She drowned. Drowned, I tell you. And she was under the water. She left her body. That's what happens when you die, okay? You leave your body. There's two of you. There's the you that was you in the body, whether it's lying on a table in a operating room or underneath a car. Maybe you got run over by a car. God forbid. Excuse me. Or whatever. When you die, like with her, she drowned. Had lungs filled with water. By the speedboat. But check out that video. She went through a veil, like I said, it was a saran wrap veil. Check it out, saran wrap veil. And she was in eternity, kind of like in outer space with all the millions of stars all around. I tell you, if you saw the stars up there in the atmosphere, above the Earth's atmosphere, they would look so beautiful, it would make you cry. It would make you cry. Tears would fill your eyes when you see how beautiful it is out there. Stars about 25% bigger and brighter, and millions of them, every square inch of space covered in hundreds and thousands of stars as far as you can see, and even beyond. A tremendous, wonderful situation we're part of, my friends. And it's all because of the creator of the universe. And in her near-death experience, she met the creator of the universe, and she said that not a he, not a she, not an it, an energy field, like an electrical being that communicates telepathically and is omniscient and omnipotent. My friends, God, the creative universe, can do anything. A-N-Y-T-H-I-N-G, anything. You think there's life here on, a lot of life here on planet Earth? Think about how a being who is omnipotent can do anything, who is a creator of planets and suns and bodies, all the life here on Earth. Do you think that the creator would limit, let's just say, call it his, herself, use that pronoun, his, her, or he, she, to just creating life on one planet? Does that make sense? Is that logical? A creator, a very, how would you put it, ambitious creator, a very creative creator, a very at work all the time creating creator, would create life anywhere in the universe. And I do mean anywhere, my friends. You know, there's planets out there, other planets, life like we don't know, that we can't even comprehend. Suffice it to say, the creator is totally amazing. Now, what if I would say to you, I'm going to tell you something right now, something I think the Father God, because there is a Father God, a co-creator God in the highest, which we are aspiring to be, right? Through that process of reincarnation, being born on other planets, where we achieve a level of perfection of our souls until one day we reach the level of co-creator God. We can't be like the creator. We can't be the creator of the universe, but we can be like the creator of the universe and have those powers available at our fingertips. Just knowledge of what they are and how to put them in motion. Words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Bible is right in that respect, my friends. And the Word was with God. Yes, the creator of the universe, created with something similar, maybe not like exactly what I'm using right now, words, what you use, what we use in our everyday conversation, but something similar, right? Because back then there wasn't a physical body. God, the creator of the universe, wasn't in a physical body. God was in the spirit realm, in the spirit lands, even before the physical universe was created, when there was darkness and silence, and nothing existed except for the spirit. But then we have a mother and father God who created the solar system. And yes, I'm looking at the sun over there. We don't even notice the sun, do we? Okay, I feel a song coming on. Feels Old by Sting. Here it goes. You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley. You'll forget the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while upon the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down upon the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love upon the fields of barley? We'll forget the sun in his jealous sky. We lie in fields of gold. See the west wind move like a lover's soul upon the fields of barley. Feel her body rise when you kiss her mouth upon the fields of gold. I never make promises lightly, but there have been some that I've broken. But I swear to you, in the day still left, we'll walk in fields of gold. We'll walk in fields of gold. Many years have passed since the summer days on the fields of barley. See the children run as the sun goes down among the fields of gold. You'll remember me when the west wind moves among the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold. So, my friends, we are aspiring to be co-creator gods. We have a mother and father God. We were born, our spirit and our soul was born on the sun, maybe not this sun, maybe another sun, the spirit world, the world of the spirit, where the spirit thrives, the spirit can live in fire, the spirit is made of light energy. Do you have a spirit in your body? Yes, I hear. Yes, we have a spirit in our body, and that spirit is made of light energy. It can live in fire. Got it? But, all right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. Let me tell you what I was going to say. How many have heard of a man by the name of Lou Famoso, F-A-M-O-S-O? He had a near-death experience, my friends. What, you say, a near-death experience? Really? Oh, I don't know if I believe in them. Well, he died in a car crash. You believe in car crashes? His car rolled end over end. It happens, you know, several times and caught on fire. It happens, you know. And he said he had a near-death experience and he met the Father God who came to him like a ball of light. imagine a ball of light coming towards you, small at first, and then getting bigger and bigger, and then the size of a basketball, and the size of a beach ball, and that glowing orb of light, golden light, all of a sudden transformed in front of him into this beautiful being of light about three times the size of an average man. And he realized at that moment that he was in the presence of the Creator, the co-creator God, not the creator of the universe, who looks kind of like the old Aurora Borealis, if you will. Just imagine the Aurora Borealis, the creator of the universe is huge, but this was the Father God. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something that I hope you don't forget, because it will help make the world a better place. Are you ready? Now, you all are prayer warriors out there. I know you are. You can pray. You have power in your prayer. You might have seen prayer work for you. You might have seen prayer change things for you. You can do it. Don't be afraid. You have to be brave and courageous to pray. And it works. And when you know it works, why wouldn't you want to do it, right? Just imagine if you could pray. I'm not talking about praying to win the lottery. Although, I must admit, that'd be pretty cool, you know, winning all those millions of dollars. But I'm talking about praying for other people, for their healing, praying for the world to be a better place, praying for peace. Remember the Groundhog Day? He goes to sit down with, what's her name, the actress there, and he's learning all the things that he has to do to get close to her. And one thing he asked her, well, what do you like or what do you want in life? And she said, well, she actually was raising her drink to something. He says, what can we drink to? And she said, I want to drink towards world peace. World peace. So you pray for world peace. I'm going to tell you, before I tell you this thing, a group of people getting together and praying together, holding hands sometimes or not holding hands, but just praying together in each other's presence. Even the Bible says, when one or more people gather together in my name, there's power. Your prayers actually go up into heaven, my friends. Yes, there is a heaven. It's a very special place where we're all going to go to. We all came from there. We're going to go back. Now, some people who need a little rehabilitation are going to go to a place called God's Jail. And it begins with the word H, second letter E, third letter hell, in other words, right? God's Jail. But it's a temporary. The people that say it's eternal damnation, oh, well, they just don't know. Sorry to say, no disrespect intended. A loving mother and father God in heaven, a lot more loving than parents here on earth. Yeah, does that make sense? And so if you're a parent and you know your child has made a mistake, maybe even killed somebody, maybe been in a war and killed many people, but you love them, are you going to condemn them to an eternity of suffering and pain because they were disobedient to you or made a mistake or broke some laws? I think, no, just imagine how much more loving your mother and father God are in heaven. But this is what I'm getting around to saying. I'm going to tell you something. Please, and I said before, I'll say it again. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Have you all waiting in suspense? Excuse me. Okay, now you're not going to forget this, are you? Now, this is very, very important. Something that you can remember for the rest of your life and pass it on. It will stop the war and killing. It will stop the war and killing. It will stop the war and killing. This prayer, this little... That's not a prayer, actually. It's some advice, some guidance for us to do. You can take from it what you will, but it is rather obvious what you talk about, okay? Are you ready? You're not going to forget, are you? Please, you're going to pass this on? Would you please pass it on to your friends? I mean, this is, don't forget, this is a guy who was in a car accident, who met God face to face, right? He materialized in front of him, right? And this is what he told him so that he could come back and share it with other people so it could be passed around, pass it around. Please share it. You ready? Are you ready to hear it? This is what God told Lou Formoso, among other things. This is what he said. Are you ready? You're not going to forget, are you? Okay. Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Of course, that can be applicable to women also. Man will prey on man, P-R-E-Y, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. This is what he told the guy that died in the car crash. That being of light, he said, it was energy personified. It kind of like had a nuclear charge, and the outline was like outlined as if with a fine quill pen. This was a being, just a being of light, the Father God, and Mother God, too. Please don't make the mistake of not believing Mother of that beautiful location over there in the spirit world. And all of a sudden, when you have your life in view and you're going to look at your life, what you were able to accomplish, your soul's evolution, your spiritual development, you don't want to say to the Mother God, don't take that bet, my friend. Lose that bet. Don't lose that assumption. Don't have that assumption that there is no Mother God. Besides, you know Father God wants a woman by his side. He's a man. Any man would, except for the spirits that come to earth and pop themselves in the inner body of the opposite sex. You know, homosexual or transgender. Gay people. And I love them all. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying they have a very special mission coming to earth. A female spirit in a male body or a male body. A male spirit in a female body. I see them all the time. I can identify them in most cases. 9 times out of 10. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult for me. But I can tell who they are. And transgender people the same. And it's cool. They were born that way. Therefore, that's what God wanted. It was in accordance with God's plan. The Mother and Father God's plan. Or the creator of the universe. They're very, very similar. I pray, I mean, need an intermediary to have your prayer examined. I pray to my sometimes, but mainly to the creative universe. And if you pray to the creative universe, you will notice that the creative universe, listen to that near-death experience by Donna Libido when she drowned and she had that communication with the creator, of course, telepathically. It's like, oh my God, you're the creative universe. You hear back immediately, I am the creative universe. Oh my God, you know everything. Yes, I know everything. This is telepathically, all telepathically. It's a beautiful, beautiful, cool, very cool spirit. You know, before she went back in the body, he said to her, okay, Donna, so what do you want to do now? And then she said, well, created me, I'll leave the choice to you. And so there's a little bit more conversation back and forth. And then she realized she had to go back in the body. And she also was a little bit regretful of having made the decision to let God choose, the Creator choose for her, because she realized when she did, she kind of gave away her choice. But afterwards, she realized it was the right decision. So as she was going back into her body, the Creator said to her, right after she said, I'll leave the choice up to you, he said to her, I say he, because, you know, I use that pronoun, he, she, good answer! All the way down, back into her body, and then she realized, hey, I'm back in my body, underneath the water. Wait a second, what just happened here? My lungs are full of water. And at that very instant, she felt some hands lift her up, human hands, up to the surface of the water. She looked around, there was no one there. Angels? And then when she got to the surface of the water, she felt hands on her back, slapping her back. And then she spewed gallons of water out of her lungs, coughing. Anyway, so I like to sing another song. I've got all these songs here. I've got over, I've learned, you know, with the songs that I've learned over the years that I learned for the Wounded Warriors, I used to go down there and sing, and also for the gospel choir that I'm a part of, I've learned probably close to 500, 600, 700 songs. Maybe not that much, 500. And it's great. How about a song by the Eagles? Take It to the Limit. It goes like this. All alone at the end of the evening. I've got 1 minute. Oh, my God. Time has flown, my friends. I wanted to sing some more songs. So let me say goodbye. Thank you for listening. Creator of the universe, please bless us all. If it could be your will, please help there to be peace here on earth, because we need to love each other instead of hate each other, God. We really don't want to kill each other. So thank you for everything, God. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week, God willing. I love you. Bye-bye.